Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Man, that was crazy. I don't even have an intro today. Chris, I don't even want to talk first. Chris, what just happened?
Dude, I'm going to pass it to the man who saw the damn game in person. JB, what just happened?
Well, SoFi Stadium, it was kind of a wild night to be there. Definitely more Raiders fans and Rams fans. They were loud, and they are a unique breed. I was kind of scared there for a bit, but hey, you know, they were quiet at the very end. Baker Mayfield had quite the night and pulled out the win. So pretty crazy.
What jersey are you wearing?
I don't do the jersey thing, but yeah.
Were you wearing Rams shirts or something?
Yeah. But there wasn't very many people in blue and yellow. That's for sure.
Not many. Yeah. So what was the last drive like? Was it like you could hear a pin drop or like how does that work?
Well, I mean, they started at the 2-yard line, so a 98-yard drive. That's pretty improbable. And, you know, there were penalties that kept the drive alive for the Rams, right? When you have the personal foul and after the play, of course. You know, you have Ben Skronik making that incredible catch in double coverage, just going up and getting it. And, yeah, the throw to Van Jefferson, maybe a questionable defensive coverage call by the Raiders to let him, you know, be one-on-one like that. But wow, improbable, but against all odds, they got it done.
Chris, what was your feeling on Baker Mayfield? We haven't talked since this happened because it's happened so quickly. So what were your feelings on Baker Mayfield before tonight? I know what they are after tonight.
Yeah, they're polar opposite. Not really polar opposite. I knew that when we got him, he was immediately the best quarterback on our roster, but I would have never thought that one, he would play this much and play like this. Baker Mayfield will forever have my respect. I have never seen anything like that. Even when we were losing on the last drive, I did not think we were going to win that game. And I was still like, this is one of my favorite Rams games that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then for it to end with a W the way that it did, oh my god. I mean, obviously recency bias, I'm not gonna say this is like a top five game. Shit, I mean, that was one of my favorite games that I've seen in a long time.
Well, you know, let me add, you know, to give you some more reason to put it in your top five. I mean, this has never happened in NFL history we just witnessed tonight. Whether you like Baker Mayfield, dislike Baker Mayfield, I mean, I don't, you can't, anything he had done tonight, he would have gotten no slack, you know, he would have gotten, not no slack, he would have gotten no flack from anybody. You know, if he was terrible, nobody would have been, this would have been his, like, this was like his get out of jail free night. He could have done anything he needed to because he was so unprecedented for a guy to be starting 2 days after he got to the team, plus he's Baker Mayfield. And then you get all of that going into Thursday night football, not even Sunday football, Thursday night football. You know, there were throws there that were just like, oh yeah, that one's sailing, that one's in the dirt. Oh, that's a miscommunication. Nothing that anybody could have gotten really mad at Baker Mayfield for because of the situation. So, you know, when it was 16-3, you thought, yeah, you know, well, what's amazing is if it wasn't for things that are outside of Baker Mayfield's control, the Rams would have had 16 points already. You know, that there were mistakes by not Baker Mayfield that cost the Rams points every single time, despite the fact of how new he was to the team and how unprecedented tonight was. So all that stuff, Chris, I think, yeah, you can put it in your top five because this was an NFL classic. That's why I said to you before, the only way I can explain it is the NFL came up with this story this week as some way to sell Thursday night football because it's just so insane. JB, as far as games that you've ever been to, where would you rank it?
I mean, it's got to be up there. Yeah, I don't go to a lot of football games because, you know, I'm not in the same city as the Rams. I had to travel to be able to watch this one. But it wasn't all pretty for Baker Mayfield, of course, right? Maybe that after he got out of those scripted plays and he had to create on his own, that opening drive out of the second half was pretty ugly, missed a lot of throws, even like screen-type passes that were off target. So, but he really got more comfortable as the game went on. And, wow, what an incredible night for him, and really elevated – these young receivers in a way that Rams quarterbacks just haven't done this year. And that's not a knock on Matthew Stafford or John Wolford or anyone. It's just whenever, you know, things weren't going their way, you know, the Rams quarterbacks didn't defy those problems in a way that Baker Mayfield did tonight.
Yeah. And, you know, just to clarify what Baker Mayfield did on the final drive there, like Chris said, or JB said, there were penalties. All night, it was like there's so many flags, so many mistakes by both teams. I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders, sorry, you continue to be a huge joke. I don't know how this keeps happening to you year after year after year after year. But, like, maybe it's because, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of an honest guy. So I've always kind of been like, I don't get why people keep the Derek Carr thing. I don't know. You know, how they came away with 16 points was only because of Derek Carr. So that was part of it too. Plus, you know, the Rams defense, we're going to get to them soon. But as far as Baker Mayfield, you know, I'm just so like thrilled to have watched such an interesting game that the Rams won here. But if Baker Mayfield is bad next week and forever, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked or anything either. Just an incredible night. JB, Chris wasn't on the Baker bandwagon necessarily before tonight, but you were somewhat. Was that right?
Well, I think it's just John Wolford, Bryce Perkins, not NFL caliber throwers, and bringing him in the building is a
former. But in terms of like just your pre-Rams Baker Mayfield opinions.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had three good years where he was a top half of the league starter, and he showed that ability tonight.
Yeah, so it's just and you know, like, it was giving, like both of you guys said, it's giving these other guys around a greater chance here, and the offensive line, all the mistakes there, just kind of an ongoing theme, you know. But another thing that I thought was interesting about tonight is, you know, Jared Goff, number one overall pick in the draft, wasn't Sean McVay's pick. Sean McVay gets him. Jared Goff has some pretty good years and goes to a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford, number one overall pick. McVay didn't pick him. Gets Matthew Stafford, saves him from 12 years of Detroit, and wins a Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield, number one pick. Not McVay's number one pick. Mentioned, you know, that they had met on a plane. Maybe if, you know, the circumstances were different, the Rams would have happily drafted Baker Mayfield. But he now has this night here, which is, we'll see how it goes here over the final four games. No question now who's the starter. But Chris, this success that McVay has with different quarterbacks is pretty notable, you know, because we tie so much of a head coach's success to his quarterback, even Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So, you know, it's hard to say, well, was that the coach or the quarterback? Do you think McVay at this point, you know, can get some credit that with any quarterback, he can make it work? We did see him with undrafted free agents here prior to this and kind of have that as another comparison. But what are your thoughts on McVay and just working with all these different quarterbacks?
I mean, he's been shown to have pretty good initial success. Sometime after the middle of the season, I think it's shown that the passing game has kind of dipped down. So yeah, he's got pretty good initial success with a quarterback. This isn't something that I would expect that we're going to ride out and have a quarterback controversy or anything. But he's definitely the starter moving forward. We saw, this is not an exaggeration, we saw more good throws from Baker Mayfield in this one game than we've seen out of both John Wolford and Bryce Perkins since Matthew Stafford went down. This was an impressive night. I don't even want to talk about McVay too much. And in all honesty, full disclosure, scoop here, I'm not talking about McVay's press conference tonight, okay? I'm talking about Baker Mayfield's press conference tonight. I want to give Baker Mayfield the credit because there's no way that that shit should have happened. Now, he did say that McVay and Liam Cohen and Matthew Stafford have been getting him geared up since, you know, he's landed. But no, man, this, I'm at a loss for words. But yeah, McVay can get a little credit tonight.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I wrote a little article on Turf Show Times after the game. I was just like, I'm speechless. I don't know what the heck just happened. Because I've been a pretty big, what's the opposite of proponent, you know, opponent of Baker Mayfield and his abilities and all this kind of thing. And, you know, it was just thrilling. You know, I don't care if I was for a guy or against a guy, if he makes me excited to watch football, I'm for him. So Baker Mayfield, you know, there was just this idea that for the Rams, who had Thursday night football, who have Christmas Day football, who have New Year's Day football, you know, all these big football dates coming up, we just didn't want to watch John Wolford, you know? So it's just good to know that the Rams can not only compete with Baker Mayfield, but obviously they can win with Baker Mayfield. JB, what were your thoughts on Sean McVay and you know, the relationship to the quarterbacks?
Well, I took some flack, you know, recently whenever I wrote about, you know, how many quarterbacks could have won the Super Bowl for the Rams a year ago and kind of went through the list of all those starting quarterbacks. And, you know, maybe you get to the point where maybe there's a dozen quarterbacks last year that could have got the Rams over the hump and just been an incremental improvement over Jared Goff and get the job done. And, you know, Sean McVay, maybe it's a plug and play type situation. It's not so much about having the right guy and a franchise quarterback, because Sean McVay can really bring the best out of certain players. And maybe Matthew Stafford, you know, he did get the job done. He got the Rams a Super Bowl win, but maybe his best attribute in some ways that offseason was just that he was available in a way that Aaron Rodgers and others truly weren't. And the Rams had no chance to ever really acquire them. So, you know, this is a good redemption arc for Baker Mayfield, whether he is back as a backup next year or he just boosts his stock and another team thinks that, you know, he could be a starter or a, you know, insurance option for them. We're going to find out and time will tell, but his stock's going up like a rocket right now.
Yeah, that's another thing that I think I wrote earlier too, is just the skyrocket situation. You know, this is a guy released to, yeah, like if he now he's got a clear opportunity to try and earn a starting opportunity as a free agent next year over these next four games. And he could also choose to stick with the Rams, you know, and accept that if he stays somewhere that he is guaranteed to be a backup with good coaching and good players around him, you know, whether he gets his opportunity with the Rams or with another team, I don't think it would hurt him to take those games. You know, you could have a long look at Geno Smith restarting his career at 32. So you may not have to wait that long, but I think that there's really something to it. You know, I also have observed that this year we're seeing that all the teams that got new quarterbacks suck, and all the teams that had quarterbacks for at least 3 years, including like Geno Smith, even as a backup, or Taylor Heineke, who's 5-1-1 with Washington, were doing good. All the division leaders have quarterbacks with at least 3 years on their team. Five of the six wild cards have quarterbacks with at least 3 years on the team, and pretty much all the other teams from the Colts to the Falcons to the Rams were doing really poorly with only a few exceptions like Aaron Rodgers. These guys that have only been with their teams for 1 or 2 years. So I think it would help Baker Mayfield to just wait it out here. And I think the Rams could obviously use Baker Mayfield, and we'll see how highly he's valued. Cam Akers had 12 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, but he also had another fumble. I was kind of surprised to see how many touches that Cam Akers was getting on that second to last touchdown drive. Chris, what were your thoughts there on the run game? Because Cam Akers, he does get the majority of the reps. He shows some good runs. And whatever reason, Kyren Williams is not going to replace him because he didn't really get any of those opportunities, maybe just a few, after the fumble. I'm just kind of, you know, a little expectant now of maybe a fumble here at this point. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so full disclosure, like I told you, you know, didn't get a chance to watch the beginning of the game. But did see the fumble, and it was such a disappointing fumble. Right when you cross into the red zone, why do I still want to like Cam Akers? But 12 carries, 42 yards, 3.5 per pop. I mean, it's nothing special going on right there. But we won the game by 1 point. He had a touchdown. So obviously he was critical to the win. So let's put some respect on his name there. But the fumbling is just, it's a problem. Just like you said, you got to expect a fumble every other game at the most. You're going to get a fumble out of Cam Akers at this point. But I would love to see Kyren Williams get some more burn. Only 3 carries, 19 yards, 6.3 a carry. I want to see Kyren Williams get some more burn, but he just may not be where he needs to be in the playbook yet to get that burn.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
JB, we saw, obviously, we were just talking about Cam Akers. Ben Skoranek, 7 catches for 89 yards. Tutu Atwell, 5 catches for 50 yards. Van Jefferson, 2 catches for 44 yards and the touchdown. And we saw a little bit of Austin Trammell with a 5-yard catch there. And even a little bit of Bryson Hopkins. And I'm just sort of talking about how the last month here, without Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson, just wanting to see if any of these receivers could be a part of the offense next season and be big parts of the offense. And I think obviously we're seeing that Tutu Atwell, because he's has such a special position. It's not like anyone else can really do what he does anyway, but definitely want to get him as a regular component of the offense. But what are your thoughts on Ben Skoranek being the number 2 opposite of Cooper Kupp next year?
Well, I don't love that for him. I think he's more of a wide receiver number 4 and rotating in as a fullback role too. But this was his best career game. And he also had that catch where he plucked it out of the dirt, just inches off the ground, secured it. And then he had the recognition to know that he wasn't touched and got up and got more yards on the ground after the catch too. So I think that's a really big on his part. That catch on the final drive, absolutely incredible. I don't think we've ever seen that from him at any point. But he's a big-bodied receiver. He's a pretty good athlete, better than you would expect. And, yeah, I mean, he really just showed his potential on that play. And, you know, one game with Baker Mayfield is better than anything he's ever had with any other quarterback before. So you wonder maybe there's just some natural chemistry there. And Baker's willing to give him those shots. And, hey, even this game from Ben Skoranek is better than any individual game Allen Robinson had this season. And what Tutu Atwell continues to do, he continues to expand that route tree and show that he's more than just a deep threat. And it's just a true mystery why he wasn't on the field until, you know, week 12 and 13, where he's getting a lot of run. He should have been out there at the very start of the season and, you know, with Cooper Kupp, because I think those two are very good complements to each other, where if Atwell's opening things up by being a decoy deep, Kupp can work underneath and vice versa. So we'll see if in 2023 they can really form a formidable duo.
Yeah, very unclear what the real reasons there were for not giving Tutu Atwell more opportunities early in the year. But you're right. I mean, that catch out of the dirt, I had actually forgotten about for a second here. So I was also thinking about that bigger catch. Ben Skoranek wasn't even making the simple catches as a rookie. So, you know, that's another thing. Like, not that it's ever good to have injuries, but clearly with Sean McVay, far too often he doesn't know what he's got. And he has these guys on the bench buried somewhere that, you know, he's just not even seeing, or they're not getting the reps and they're just not necessarily being able to showcase what they can do. And, you know, in the NFL, you know, you might only get 2 or 3 years to prove yourself, if that. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, guys like Ben Skoranek. Oh, if he has a really good game, now he's got 4 more opportunities. You know, it was a few years ago, the way that Tyler Higbee just finished that season as getting all those targets and he could put up a bunch of yards, you know, and obviously we haven't seen that Tyler Higbee ever, you know, really again. And it was just those circumstances that year. But maybe for Ben Skoranek, he could have a run like that and, you know, see what happens there if he can challenge Allen Robinson next season, if Allen Robinson, assuming he's around. What did you think of Ben Skoranek there in the second half, Chris?
I loved it. I agree with JB. There's some natural chemistry there. I like it. I want to ship it. I want to see it more often. I want to see it again. I'm going to watch the game again, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I think that JB is also right. I don't want to see him as our number two. But if we're forced to play him as such due to injuries next year, I'm not going to go into it with the same, oh, no, I went into it this year. I'm going to go into it comfortable, saying, okay, well, I know what I'm going to get out of him. You know, he may not blow the stat sheet up, but he's no longer the Ben Skoranek in my head that he actually was in his rookie year. That's gone. I'm never going to be concerned that I'm going to see that again. I'd be okay with him, you know, having a consistent role in the offense. I wanted to see what's going on with Lance McCutcheon. What he needed to be part of this story tonight. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I hadn't thought of that, which is probably just because it was such a crazy night from the beginning to the end. Why did John Wolford start the game? Is that some sort of just like technicality or something? I don't get that. You know, I get that for if they were in some sort of rotation or something like that. It's crazy. But let's talk about the defense, because we got to give them their credit. The first half, I was like, well, geez, if the offense wasn't hard enough, which surprisingly the offense is okay at times, the defense just isn't doing anything. I mean, it was very lucky there to get that interception at the end of the half. It could have been 20-3. And that was after a 73-yard drive for the Raiders. So that didn't necessarily look good. And then in the second half, the Raiders' drives went 9 yards, 8 yards, 31 yards, 9 yards, and then the interception to end the game there for Taylor Rapp. But Bobby Wagner, the defense, you know, Jalen Ramsey didn't get, you know, Al Michaels said a few things about Jalen Ramsey in the first half. He didn't back that up in the second half, maybe. JB, what were your thoughts there on the defensive performance of allowing only 2 field goals after the first quarter?
Well, Bobby Wagner was everywhere, and not a lot of teams have slowed down Josh Jacobs in a way that the Rams did tonight. And Bobby Wagner was an important piece of that, especially once Jacobs left for like he had a wrist injury, I believe. And once he came back, he just wasn't the same runner. Matt Collins was very effective in the running game. I think Michael Hoyt had some problems establishing that and setting the edge, but the Rams rotated around with Keir Thomas and some others. And I think they really got that settled out, and Hoyt really was impactful later in the game because he had the hit on Derek Carr that forced the Taylor Rapp interception too. So I think that's worth noting. But playing cornerback, it's a losing game in the NFL. Yeah, but Jalen Ramsey keeps making it harder and harder to defend him whenever he does this week after week. But he was going against one of the very best in Davante Adams today. And I guess you expect Adams to win, but and the way he did it was just had to be pretty upsetting for Jalen Ramsey whenever he got the defensive pass interference penalty, and Adams still made the one-handed grab. So you just hate to see that for him.
Yeah, I mean, that was an insane catch by Adams. You know, obviously with the pass interference, it made it kind of moot for Ramsey. But certainly as far as the catch goes, you go like, well, if you're Davante Adams, then I guess you're Davante Adams. And really that was the offense, three catches for 71 yards. I mean, Davante Adams caught three passes and the Raiders needed points. You know, there was those times where you thought, yeah, if this was a shootout, maybe the Raiders could put up more points and they don't feel threatened maybe by the Rams because they only weren't doing so much there. But very interesting to see how this happened, because it also happened without Aaron Donald. You're going up against Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams, and you don't have Aaron Donald. So that was another factor into it. Chris, what were your thoughts on the defense?
You know, I've been an advocate, a defender of this defense. I feel like all season long, they continue to do what they do, keep the offense in games. And this time, they finally got a little bit of offense when it was really needed. Josh Jacobs didn't go over 100 yards. If I'm going to – let me double confirm. Yeah. Josh Jacobs went under, right there, 99 yards. Beautiful. Davante Adams, under 100 yards, 71 yards. If you can do that to the Raiders offense, then throw in two interceptions from Derek Carr, you should win. You should win. They didn't sack him. They didn't need to. Those interceptions heavily outweigh sacks any day of the week. It was a good performance. And like I said, I didn't see the first half, but I saw the score going up in the first half. And I on record as to saying that I thought the Raiders were going to blow this one out, you know, and as I was watching the scores this first half, I thought that it was trending that way. As soon as I turned the TV on, I was like, well, I'm not seeing what I saw, what I expected to see. The Raiders look like they're struggling. The defense said, no, we're not again. Not again. We're going to do it for Baker. We're going to do this for Baker. And it happened. I still can't believe this happened that way. But yeah, the defense did what they've been doing all year for the most part, playing good enough to keep the offense in games. Like everyone, I'm sorry, I got to say this one more thing. Everyone's talking bad about the defense. Think of all the defensive performances all year. With the exception of Buffalo was just going to be a beatdown regardless. But put a mid-level offense with this defense this year, and they're probably in playoff contention. The team is probably in playoff contention. Yeah. This defense has been let down by the offense. This defense, again, did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way that the defense, because it wasn't just that the Raiders, you know, were struggling, you know, it's also the fact that it was crazy is that the Raiders, you were right, they could have been pulling away there based on how things were trending in the first half. Like I said, that it just felt like they weren't going to have trouble moving down the field in the first half. And yet, it felt like at halftime it should have been at least tied, you know, between the fumble by Cam Akers, between all the craziness on the Rob Havenstein holding penalty that led to the Coleman Shelton penalty that pushed the Matt Gay attempt to 61 yards. You know, all these things where it's like, man, this is actually a close game, but the Rams are losing by two scores because they just keep getting in their own way. It's not even like what the Raiders are doing, you know? So it was like between the coaching and, you know, Baker Mayfield's performance and some of those catches made by Rams offensive players and the way that the defense had held everything together. Definitely. It's like, how could this be the most complete game for the Rams all season long after they've lost all these players? You know, it's just so improbable to see it that happen this way. And, you know, gives us reason for some more optimism with the Packers next Monday night, like next Monday night. So it's going to be a long 11 days until, and it's a lot of time for Baker Mayfield to get prepared for that. So JB, how do you sort of feel about the Packers game, you know, now? Is it sort of just a high of a crazy win, or do you think that you saw a team that, you know, could now start competing a little bit more?
No, absolutely. I think this offense, it could be the best it's been all season so far, and it's a pretty low bar you have to clear. But as Chris mentioned, this defense is going to keep you in games, especially against, you know, the Packers offense doesn't necessarily light the scoreboard up. Christian Watson has really been a big development for them. As a rookie, he's really coming on strong, and he's pretty much their entire offense. So if you find a way to slow him down and take away the big play, if you get any production from this offense, if you can score, get to that 20-point mark, you're going to be, you know, in this game till the final moment. So it's just on the offense to really produce at any meaningful level. So this is going to be exciting to watch. A lot of primetime games coming up, and all eyes are on Baker Mayfield, and we finally have something fun to talk about with this team.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I always try to emphasize is a lot of people talk about analytics or the salary cap, or I don't want this guy because of this reason of the how much money he costs, or I don't want to use a first. And sometimes I'm just like, do you like being entertained? How about just let's want to be entertained? How about the part where I just like watching football and I don't really care how much the guy makes, or I don't care what his, you know, draft status is. I just want players who I like to watch play. So that was entertainment tonight. Chris, do you see something here that this entertainment can roll here in the final four games?
I don't see why not. You know, we don't have any juggernauts left on the schedule. I think, oh my goodness, this is going to be so fun to watch as long as Baker Mayfield doesn't get knocked out behind this offensive line, who still allowed him to get pummeled, still got sacked four times. So, you know, someone needs to get on Baker, stop headbutting people with their helmets on. Well, just stop headbutting people, period. So, you know, there are things I'm concerned about, but I'm not going to even think about them because I'm just excited about what may happen. You know, this was fun. This was fun. Now, there's something to be said when there is absolutely no pressure. Just like you said, he had a free pass tonight. Next week, there's going to be expectations now. So let's see what you do when we expect you to lead us to victory. Because it's going to be a whole different mindset. It was impressive tonight. Now, I don't want to take anything away from it, but I can't sit here and say that he's going to rattle off a win streak. I'd like to say it, but he's definitely going to give us a better chance than what we had.
Yeah, man. You talk about the schedule as well. And yeah, the Packers are an interesting team. You know, you got Matt LaFleur as the head coach, so obviously he's got familiarity with Sean McVay. And then Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, obviously familiar with Sean McVay. But what they're not familiar with is Sean McVay with Baker Mayfield. So that's just such a different element in the Packers defense. I'm surprised that they've not been very good. You know, that was something that I thought was going to be their strength going into the season with all that talent they have. But their last three games really have all been bad defensive performances. And now they're on a bye. So they've also got the extra time. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup there because it's like nobody really knows, just like tonight, that was another thing. Nobody really knows what to expect. Maybe with Baker and the Raiders, they should have, or they could have, you know, known kind of what to expect. But yeah, like it was, as you guys were saying, some of the best throws we've seen by any Rams quarterback all year, including Matthew Stafford. So that part of it just makes it more exciting moving forward to just know the Rams could potentially move the ball. JB, any other coaches or play? I want to make sure this is like an award ceremony where I feel like I just won Best Picture. So is there anyone else that I forgot to thank?
I can't think of any at this point. I mean, Michael Hoyt continues to develop an edge rusher. It's fun to watch. I think he struggled a little bit in the run game today, but he helped seal the win in a big way, and it's really fun to watch in the last 3 weeks. And maybe the Rams have a key rotational piece of edge rusher going into 2023. It's kind of like finding $20 in your pocket that you didn't know you had.
And Chris, what about you? I know that I've got the statue, the little statue in my hand, but who did I forget to thank?
Dude, the Carolina Panthers.
Great point.
Thank you, Carolina. We appreciate it. You came over here, LA, earlier, gave him a tour. He liked it, and we brought him back. Thank you, Carolina Panthers.
That's really the fact that they released him at this juncture is also just so fascinating because it was just such great timing for the Rams, you know, and the NFL. Like you guys say, we got primetime games coming up. So, and this was a primetime game. So it makes people tune in. And that was definitely delivered more than just hype. You know, there was something else to it. Ernest Jones, interception, Taylor Rapp, interception, Greg Gaines all over the field as well. And I don't know what Jalen Ramsey's night really worked out at, to be honest with you, but it seems like if Davante Adams has three catches and one of them is this insane one-handed grab and he's Davante Adams, that's fine by me, you know, whoever's covering him. So all that stuff to go out there, maybe, you know, Liam Cohen, you know, I don't know what your job is really, but you haven't had a good year with the fans, I think. So that probably helps, you know, given how ridiculous tonight was in the assignment. So Liam Cohen, who, by the way, someone from Kentucky asked me to talk about Liam Cohen because he's like, I think maybe we'll hire him as the head coach because he was at Kentucky. So who knows if maybe Liam Cohen is going to leave the Rams for college or not. But yeah, I think that's all I have to say about Rams Raiders. JB, final words.
I just think Sean McVay and Baker Mayfield is a match made in heaven, and he's definitely worth keeping around. Matthew Stafford's health concerns are just, you know, whether it's the elbow or his spinal contusion or concussions, you're going to like having that insurance policy around, and it's a lot of fun. So we'll see where this thing goes.
Chris, final words?
Yeah, got to keep Baker around. He's not a fan of the number 17, so he'll probably be changing that in the offseason. This is probably not that we had a chance. It's long gone, but Odell's definitely not coming back. Yeah. And also, just thanks, Carolina Panthers. I can't believe this.
Truly. I mean, is there another organization out there that seems to screw up more quarterbacks than the Carolina Panthers? Hopefully, you know, for the Rams at least, continues to give us something else to watch and potentially maybe a couple more wins here. Because as I say, it's just always better to win. It's always better to win. You never want to lose. It's almost better that the Rams don't have to worry. It's not better, but it's a little bit better that at least people don't have to worry about, oh, I hope the Rams lose for that number one draft pick or whatever. So at least we don't have to deal with that part of it. Nobody's worried about the draft pick and we can just root to win. So we'll see what happens in 11 days when the Rams take on the Packers in Green Bay on Monday Night Football. That's it for the Rams Instant Reaction Show, Turf Showtime. Subscribe somewhere.